Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
David Carr, NFL Network analyst, former NFL quarterback, and he joins us now. The Thursday night game, by the way, Cowboys without their head coach Mike McCarthy against the Saints on Fox, NFL Network, and Amazon Prime Video. And David, kind enough to join us. How important is that head coach when you make your decision to go play?
Oh, it's extremely important. I mean, you've seen when Lincoln left Oklahoma, how many top five recruits and just five stars said, "Yep, I'm going with him," or "I'm going to go somewhere else." It's vitally important. Coach, I'm a huge believer in coaching. I mean, it doesn't matter what level you're at. It could be high school football. You can give your kids an extreme advantage just by the X's and O's that you draw up. So, you know, and it goes beyond that as well. It goes to the type of person that the guy is. I mean, there's so many different levels to it. But to think that, you know, all these guys can just roll out there and it's just a matter of will and it's a matter of just being tougher than the other guy, that's crazy. You can do so much just with X's and O's and the scheme. You can create offense for your quarterback. You can make it easy for your offensive line. You can make it also extremely difficult. So, yeah, I mean, coaching is everything.
Did USC recruit you?
No, and I'm really upset about it. You know what? I am going to go. I'm going to spring ball because Lincoln, he's not going to be able to keep me off that field. I have to see this thing in person. This is. I told William McGinnis yesterday. We were doing our show. I said, "Look, man, I'm just tagging along. So you're just going to have to deal with it because I steal Lincoln's plays all the time running for my high school football team. So you're definitely bringing me with you." But, you know, SC didn't, Washington did. But then, ironically, we just lost our coach at Fresno State to Washington.
Yeah.
So, you know, it happens everywhere.
Okay, what do you see? You say you steal plays when you coach with Lincoln Riley. What is separating him from a lot of these other coaches?
I was talking to Derek about this last night because we both – almost just left football and talking about football to go coach based on just some of the numbers that we're hearing from this guy. But honestly, when you watch his scheme, it's not that difficult, but it's brilliant because he has subtle changes. And Tony Dungy was like this. Tony Dungy, when he was the coach for the Colts, they on the surface, it looked like they were only playing cover two or cover three every snap. But in reality, there were subtle changes that they would make to the front, to the linebacker's responsibilities, to the corner's responsibilities. So, and it would match what you do and try to effectively take away what you're able to do. from an offensive standpoint. And Lincoln's the same way. When you watch his offensive schemes, it looks like he only runs five plays, but those five plays have so many different tweaks and combinations. And the brilliance of what he does is he'll show you something and you'll say, oh, I got it. And there'll just be a double move off of it, or there'll be, you know, another element to the play. So it's almost like, just another example, the Seattle Seahawks. They used to play a ton of cover three, just single high, and everybody's like, oh, we know what they're doing, but no one could complete passes against them. No one could move the football. It's because the Seattle Seahawks knew exactly what they would get versus that coverage. They knew what you were going to try and do. Mm. So, you know, Lincoln's brilliance is he's going to run stuff that looks exactly the same as everything you've seen on film. He's going to hit you with a double move. He's going to hit you with a screen out the backside. He's going to hit you with something that you just didn't expect. And you're like, oh, well, that's just a one-off. Well, he does it all the time. So that's the brilliance of what he does is on the surface, it's simple. It's easy to understand from an offensive standpoint, from a player that just wants to roll in. You're a top, you know, you're a five-star recruit, want to play receiver. You can easily go in and play in his system. You know, it's not a big learning curve, but what he does is subtle changes during the game are just brilliant.
Best coaching job right now: Oklahoma, Notre Dame, LSU, USC.
I mean, I don't know how – just think about what SC used to do to those SEC teams. I think we forget that sometimes. You know, when Pete was there, they would just go in and just bounce those guys. And I know we talk about the SEC a lot, and that's a fantastic conference, and those guys obviously have some of the best players, and you can make an entire football team. Hunter Renfro, who believes that Clemson could actually win like two or three games every year in the NFL, which, I mean, and he's absolutely certain about it. So I get that, but I don't know how you can just take the kids in LA, and if you don't let them leave and you keep them at SC, you'll win the national championship every year, you know? So I think that's a great job. I don't know why. I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone here, but why do you leave Notre Dame for LSU? You know, if you're Brian Kelly, it's crazy to me. I don't understand that. Maybe I grew up in a different era where Notre Dame was the job that you would want to have forever. But I feel like he had a pretty good gig up there. So that's going to be really interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, LSU, from what I'm told, reached out to Brian Kelly prior to the start of this season, and he said no. I think he wanted to be the all-time leader in wins at Notre Dame, which he did this year. And then I think at age 60, then maybe he was open to the prospects of going someplace else. I think the NFL was always sort of there, whether he wanted it or NFL teams were interested. But LSU did reach out to start this season, from what I'm told, and Brian said no. Yeah. I'm trying to understand Seattle here, David, because I watch Russ, and Russ is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Pete Carroll's maybe a Hall of Fame head coach. I don't know. But I watch them, and I don't know who they are or what they are. They were 12-4 last year. I don't know who they are this year. And if you're Russell Wilson and you're looking around going, what am I doing? Like, my legacy is at stake here, and we're not going forward. We're going backwards. So what is wrong with the Seahawks?
It's a hard watch. So what they did, okay, so, you know, Pete Carroll has always wanted to run the football, play good defense, all right? So, I mean, you can start on the defensive side, and you can say that they've gotten away from their personality. Not to keep bringing up Willie McGinnis, but he's a defensive genius, in my opinion, played for one of the best defensive coaches of all time, New England Patriots. And when he watches the Seattle Seahawks, he gets visibly sick because he knows what they used to be. He knows that they used to play a certain way. And they've gotten away from their identity. They don't just play single high cover three with the kind of matching coverages underneath. They just try to do a whole bunch of stuff. They blow coverages. It's not the same. So then you go on the offensive side of the ball, and they've always been a team that runs the ball at least 50% of the time. They've led the league in run percentage pretty much since Russell Wilson and all those guys. You think about Marshawn Lynch. I mean, they were pounding the football, you know, and Russ was involved in that from the shotgun. And they were kind of at the forefront, honestly, even before teams were really doing a lot of zone runs and involving the quarterback in that, they were doing that with Russ. And for some reason, they decided that they looked around the league and they saw this offensive scheme that's happening, you know, with the Rams and with the 49ers and now with the Packers. And it's like that Sean McVay and Kyle Shanahan wide zone play action pass. And they're like, you know, if we can, and in theory, this makes sense. If we can do that, we're going to run the ball anyway. Let's run the outside zone. Let's pound the rock. Let's play action passes, buy Russ some time back there, that the time that he's always kind of created for himself. And we'll buy him some time to make some big shots down the field. And in theory, it sounded good. And I think you can even hear, like, when you talk to Russ or you hear him in the interviews now, like, he's excited about what Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator from the Rams, is able to kind of put on paper. The problem is it doesn't translate because you have a quarterback, and the Rams are going through this too with Matt Stafford. You have a quarterback that is one of the better just drop back pass quarterbacks in the league, that is able to see the field and kind of delegate and kind of really dictate what he's going to do from the pocket. And when you turn your back to the defense, it's no longer on Russ. It's on your play calling, and it's on the scheme to kind of carry that load. And you saw the Rams kind of get away from it. They're doing more drop back pass, and you could argue that it's hurting them a little bit. They've lost a little bit of that physical element. The Seahawks are no different. They're just not as talented. So they're trying to do this outside zone run stretch. They're not really sold on it. You can even see the offensive line's not even sold on it, because they're not really doing it. You know, they're not really pushing the pile, and they'll crack a couple runs. Then they'll just scrap it. They'll go right to the drop back pass game. And the other thing, when you run that offensive system, you tend to have better zone run blocking guys. You know, even like Terrell Davis used to tell me, dude, if we had to drop back pass, even when Owe was there, based on the offensive line that we had, we were going to get beat. We were going to have a hard time. But if we could keep that run going, we could play action off of it, we'd have success. Same thing with the Seahawks. The problem is, Shane Waldron is a young offensive coordinator. Russell Wilson is a very vocal, experienced quarterback, and rightfully so. He's going to say what he wants to do, and he's always going to default to, let me just do my thing from the pocket. The problem is they have an identity crisis, so they don't know who they are on the offensive side. That's why it's hard to watch. That's why it's difficult, because they don't even know really what they want to do, and their best plays are still with Russ just kind of making things happen. But the problem is, that's not an offensive scheme you can hang your hat on, and they're kind of just trying to figure it out right now, and that's why it looks so bad.
David, great to talk to you as always. We appreciate your insights. Thanks for joining us.
You got it, buddy. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com, or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip?
But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like.
Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season 2 of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
McLovin, give me the poll question, the results, then we'll get to Marcus Spears.
What's the best job out there? Oklahoma, Notre Dame, USC, or LSU? USC number one, LSU number two. Oh, I'm sorry, Notre Dame number two, then LSU number three.
Would LSU grad Marcus Spears agree with that? ESPN NFL analyst joining us on the program. Good morning, Marcus. Best college opening in the past week is where?
Louisiana State University. But first of all, Dan Patrick, let me say this, man. I'm almost in kid frame. You're a legend to me, brother. So thank you for having me, man. Like, I got to say that before we get into this interview. I'm geeked up. I just texted my NFL live crew. I was like, I'm about to go on Dan Patrick's show. Don't nobody text me. I'm not responding to anything. I'm about to talk to the legend. What's up, my brother?
Oh, and thank you for reaching out or trying to reach out to say congratulations for the Hall of Fame. I did get that message.
Sir.
So thank
yes,
you. That was very nice of you. All right. So now you got to remove yourself from LSU. And you got to be an analyst here. The best college opening is USC, Notre Dame, LSU, or Oklahoma?
It's LSU, Dan. And listen, here's the reason, okay? Because I want to be on the West Coast in that beautiful sunshine when you get daylight for a long period of time. You don't have to wake up super early being a guy from the South and on the East Coast. But here's the bottom line. Three coaches have won national championships at LSU. So we all know that it's doable. That's number one. Number two is you in the center of where all of these five stars, all of these big time players come from. And in the state of Louisiana, which I don't think gets enough credit for how many really, really good players come out of that state as well. And then too, when you think about Brian Kelly and you think about his move, but more importantly, you think about LSU and where it is. Obviously, people say, well, Nick Saban is at Alabama. Why would you want to go coach there? 2 years ago in 2019, Ed Orgeron fielded a good enough team to beat Alabama. It's very few places that you realistically believe that you can do that. And LSU is one of those. So that's why I feel like it's the better job out of them. And for a coach to leave Notre Dame and go to LSU should tell you what the number one coaching job is in the country.
Well, I also think that Brian may have thought, let me be the all-time leader in victories at Notre Dame. I've done everything I could possibly do, and it's quite a resume there. And he turned 60, and I don't know if this is a midlife crisis, but he's probably had, you gave him an offer that he couldn't refuse. And probably said, hey, I'm going to pull the ripcord, and I'm gone there. And I understand Lincoln Riley as well going to USC with Oklahoma coming to the SEC. I would want to be in a conference where I thought I could stand alone. And Oklahoma did that in the Big 12, and I think he's going to do that in the Pac-12.
Yeah, Lincoln made a phenomenal choice. And then, too, when you start thinking about what he's been able to do from an offensive standpoint, I know it's been said a lot. The quarterback at Alabama is from California. The quarterback at Ole Miss is from California. So Lincoln Riley has enough name cachet. He has two former Heisman Trophy winners and two former number one overall draft picks. You don't think he's going to sit in a quarterback house and that's going to be enticing to stay at home in California and have the potential of doing that at USC? And then, two, that program outside of Pete Carroll is looking for, in recent history, is looking for the next staple. And I believe Lincoln thinks that he can make that type of impact and potentially become the guy that becomes synonymous with USC football. And so all of those things are aligned for him. Not to mention, look, he was phenomenal at Oklahoma. But Bob Stoops is going to be remembered at Oklahoma. We know Barry Switzer is going to be remembered as the guys at the University of Oklahoma. Lincoln Riley has a chance to go to USC and really carve out a niche of being one of those names, like I said before, DP, as synonymous, not only with the ability to bring that program back to where they once were with Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush and all of those guys, but also be the young coach that can be there for a long time and continue that cycle going out there on the West Coast. I thought it was a tremendous move for him. I would have loved to have, let me say this, I would have loved to have Lincoln Riley at LSU as a fan, because of his offensive prowess, and that's something that we saw with Joe Burrow that could take hold in at LSU. But Brian Kelly, man, it may not be sexy. It may not make you throw a parade, but if you really deep dive into the substance of it, man got a 75% winning percentage over his coaching career. That ain't nothing to shake a stick at, and he's going to be afforded better players probably than any time ever in his career to recruit and have the chance to put out there on the field.
Man. Yeah, it's not a bad consolation prize for LSU. You played for Nick Saban at LSU for 4 years.
Yeah.
Did you have any idea at the time that Coach would go down in history perhaps as the greatest college football coach of all time?
Hell no, DP. I didn't know who Nick Saban was. I hadn't watched a Michigan State football game ever in my life. And it really came down to them in Miami. And Miami obviously was the program. My freshman year, they won the national championship. That was with a phenomenal team with Ken Dorsey and Sean Taylor and Jonathan Vilma, all of those guys. And I'm sitting there as a freshman at LSU saying, damn, I could have been a national champion my freshman year in college. But I knew this about Nick Saban through the recruiting process and then through my first year of playing. Because our first year, we had a really good season, went and played in the Sugar Bowl against Illinois, won, I think, 10 or 11 games that year. But you could see that, you could believe that what he was giving us, what he was teaching us, how he was setting us up, if it didn't lead to winning, if it didn't lead to a national championship, I clearly couldn't figure out what the hell you needed to do in order to win one. Because the level of attention to detail, the coaching staff that he put together, and not to mention, DP, Jimbo Fisher was on that staff. Will Muschamp was on that staff. Kirby Smart was on that staff. Derek Dooley was on that staff. Like, so it, Adam Gase was a
grad assistant,
a GA on that team. So it was, at the time, we had no idea that these guys would turn out to be this way, but we knew we had good coaches. We knew that every game we played in, we felt prepared and had a chance to win. And eventually it culminated in winning the national championship my junior year. But we had no idea that we didn't know who Nick Saban was. But and this too, for all of the questions about will Brian Kelly fit in, DP, you and I know it, everybody listening, you win, you fit in. I don't give a damn who you are or where you come from. If you win, you fit into whatever culture needs to be fitted into.
He's Marcus Spears, former NFL player, ESPN analyst. You can see him Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern with NFL Live, with Dan Orlovsky, Ryan Clark, Keyshawn, Mina Kimes, and he's also on Get Up First Take weekdays on ESPN. I was watching last night with Russell Wilson. You know, a year ago, they're 12-4, Marcus. And we're letting Russ cook. People are talking about MVP. Now they're 3-8. How's this going to end?
Russ is out of there, DP. You could see it. I even said it this morning, man, when I was going to get up. is when you, like, the tone in that press conference after the game said a lot to me emotionally. It looks like Russ is spent. It looks like Pete Carroll is spent. And listen, it's been a great run, but things run their course. You know, I'm an LSU fan. When it was time for Les Miles to go, it was time. It didn't mean that he didn't have an amount of success at LSU, but it was time to go. And that's what it looks like to me. It's almost similar to what we see with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Last year, they start running off wins early in the season, and you can start to see it tail off. And now we're coming back to the conclusion that they held on to Ben probably too long. This team is not really built to facilitate a veteran quarterback going and having an opportunity to win a Super Bowl. So with Russ, you look at Seattle, and yeah, they have some talent. Like Metcalf is talented. Tyler Lockett is talented. The offensive line has their issues, which he addressed. Defensively, brother, they can't stop a damn nosebleed defensively. So when you think about Russ, you think about these quarterbacks that's competing for championships. Aaron Rodgers is going to be right back in the mix. Tom, obviously, in Tampa, right back in the mix. You look at these situations with these veteran guys, and they got to get around teams that really has a great setup and great coaching and offensive philosophy. And we've been throwing it out there, and the Saints, to me, would be a good location because of the synergy that I believe he would have with Sean Payton. Not to throw Jameis to the wolves, he was doing fine, but Russ is an absolute upgrade. But to me, it just felt like finality after losing to the Washington football team. And then from a game breakdown standpoint, DP, how vanilla and generic was that offensive plan? Like, you line up DK Metcalf in the same spot. You can't get him targets. We see the deep throws to Tyler Lockett. Everybody gets excited about that. But in what world does a Russell Wilson-led offense not have the ability to put up 24 points in a game to be able to win the football game?
But, Marcus,
you can't convert third down.
Would you move on from Pete Carroll if it meant you could keep Russ in Seattle?
Yes. If Russ told me that I need to have a new infusion of offensive philosophy and a different way to approach it, absolutely. Because, listen, I love Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll, one of my favorite coaches. But what I was saying earlier, DP, he's ran his course in Seattle, man. And his philosophy doesn't seem to be taking hold there. And we got to let the Legion of Boom go, brother. We got to let it go. It's not there anymore. This team offensively is very generic. They don't have the same run game they had with Marshawn and the things. I don't think people realize how good the Seattle Seahawks were when they were winning Super Bowls. And we've gotten so accustomed to Russ making up for the things that they lacked and still being able to play at a very high level. This team hasn't really been what you would consider, even last year, you brought it up, 12-4, but did we really think they were a Super Bowl contender? I don't think at one point I said the Seattle Seahawks are a Super Bowl contender. It was all about letting Russ cook and how good he looked. But ultimately, I think this thing has just ran its course. And if Pete goes and they get the right type of guy, potentially it could keep Russ there. But Russ, his family life, all of those things I think are going to factor into him maybe wanting to change locations.
If I gave you a free shot at Keyshawn Johnson, Ryan Clark, or Dan Orlovsky?
Dan Orlovsky. Yeah. And I try to saw him in half, DP. I got to be honest with you. Okay. And I love him because he's my brother. But I would try to saw him in half because he has that little stinking arrogance of a quarterback that sometimes comes off that you just want to, like, you just want to make them know that you really aren't an athlete. You had a really good arm and you could throw, but you can't get away. And I would want to saw him in half. I absolutely would. And I love him. I love him, like him, have stayed at his home. His kids are my nephews and nieces. But if I had a shot on any of them, it'll be Dan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm there with you,
Dan Patrick, but Dan Orlovsky.
What if I threw Greeny in there? You want to take a pop at Mike Greenberg?
Yeah. I want to see how long he'd be in the hospital.
Hey, it's great to catch up with you. We hope to have you back. And thank you again for all the kind words, Marcus.
My man, thank you, man. Appreciate it. It was fun. And have me back Because if not, I'm going to talk about you bad on
that's
some
okay.
platform.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. You won't be alone in doing that. Thank you. Thank you, Marcus.
All right, my brother.
That's
Thank you.
Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, and you can see him on NFL Live Monday through Friday at 4 Eastern with the host, Laura Rutledge. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup. Starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
Lily Herman, my co-host in season one, helped me choose a team, a driver, and then...
Well, we sent you on your jolly way.
Yeah.
I'm Tony Cam Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
I'm Michael Costa, comedian, Daily Show correspondent.
And we're back with season two because, as it turns out, F1's newest fan is still a little...
dazed and confused.
Join us for season two of Choosing Sides F1 as we dive deeper into the rabbit hole of the pinnacle of motorsports.
Who makes money here?
What's CFD?
How do you manage a tire?
You, get back in there.
What are the rumors? What's the gossip? But you also know that someone's listening to your radio.
I'm going to pull up a picture of a tea cozy. I want to see what this thing looks like. Are you going to be doing that accent this whole pod?
Listen to season two of Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts. You find it.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Julian Edelman from Games with Names, and we're on a search to find the greatest games of all time. I'm talking Hall of Famers, MVPs, gold medalists.
I absolutely hate the Colts, bro. This game, I swear, led to the Deflategate.
Hey, guys, this ball's a little flat.
Ever wonder what a locker room feels like at a halftime of a Super Bowl?
Julian walking around, I'm pretty sure he had his shirt off for reasons I'm not sure. He was saying, gotta believe.
Oh, you gotta believe. From 18-1 with Eli.
Are you calling Bill just a cheater? Is that what you're saying right now?
He's looking for an advantage.
The 2004 ALCS with Big Papi.
The Red Sox in 2004 bounced back after 3-0
Winner, winner, chicken dinner, homie.
The Immaculate Reception with Terry Bradshaw.
Fired the ball. I hear the roar of the crowd. I never thought he caught the ball, but he did.
We're going to dive deep into the most iconic games with the most iconic people. New episodes dropping weekly. Listen to Games with Names on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eric Hansen has covered Notre Dame since the mid-90s, 1997, and he covers Notre Dame football for the South Bend Tribune. Where's this rank on shocking days at Notre Dame and Notre Dame history there, Eric?
Shocking days of my career. I've been doing this since 1983, and that was number one. I mean, I just didn't see it coming, and I'm still kind of shaking my head. Brian Kelly just finished building a new house near campus, and as much as his whole identity has been tied into Notre Dame winning a national championship and him fighting to put Notre Dame in a position to make that a reality, and ruffling some feathers along the way, it's just an interesting left turn for me, from my perspective.
How would you sum up the last 24 hours? And do you think all of this happened in a 24-hour period?
I do. I think that Brian was always willing to listen to people, but I don't think he saw himself as walking away from Notre Dame. And I think it just all kind of came together. I mean, his own assistant coaches didn't know.
Yeah, I know.
And so, Jack Swarbrick mentioned that, he had conversations with Brian last night. That's when they first talked about it. So, the thing about it is Brian did leave the program in a good place, and whoever walks in the door next is going to have a much easier job than Brian did walking in the door in December of 2009.
Why did he leave?
I was talking to a friend of his just before we got on the air here, and, I think the money had something to do with it, but I just think, maybe a different challenge. Maybe he just got tired of trying to fight the same fights, and just thought, well, let's try to do this somewhere else. It surprises, again, we're still kind of walking through the shock of his own friends, of his own inner circle, that this happened. And so I wish I had a better answer for you, Dan.
But sound like somebody who is shocked.
I am. I'm shaking my head. At 60 years old, to go, and Brian's a young 60. He takes care of himself. He does yoga. He has a lot of balance in his life. I mean, he was the oldest coach to ever coach at Notre Dame. He's the first one to be 60 years old to be on that sideline. So he's doing something right. But, his whole identity was tied in recruiting and everything else. Was tied into his belief, when nobody else was believing him, that Notre Dame could win a national championship. And all the battles that he had to fight for the Jumbotron and facilities and artificial turf that just made the traditionalists mad, that was all who Brian Kelly was. And that's why, right last night I wrote, he kind of broke the promise to himself that he could do this, that he could pull it off.
All right. So the short list of candidates to replace him?
The two that are the most intriguing to me is Luke Fickell, who's the head coach at Cincinnati and who has no interest in being distracted from what they're trying to do this weekend with Houston. So I would be shocked if there was any movement this week with him. And then I think Marcus Freeman's intriguing. I think it's a risk only from the standpoint that non-head college coaches haven't done well in this job. And no matter how talented they seem kind of coming in, and Marcus has only been at Notre Dame for a year. Boy, is he a sharp
guy. When you talk to him,
the defensive coordinator.
The defensive coordinator, he can recruit. He handles having six kids pretty well, so he's a good multitasker. But I think he's an intriguing pick. I think it would be a risk. Mm. I think that is the guy that the players are building support for. I'm not sure how much of a voice they'll have in this, but that's kind of who they're kind of pushing Notre Dame to look at. And I think he will get a look.
I wonder about this, Eric. We're talking to Eric Hansen. He covers Notre Dame football for the South Bend Tribune. Let's say this is, I don't know, 8 months ago, year ago. Urban Meyer is on the Fox pregame show set, and you have openings, including Jacksonville, but you have Notre Dame as an opening. And Urban famously, when he was leaving Utah, I think did a pit stop at Notre Dame and then didn't like what he heard and then kept going south to Florida. But Urban Meyer on the radar here at all with Notre Dame?
I think the circumstances that led him to leave Ohio State would be a tough sell for the Notre Dame trustees. As much as they'd love to have him, as much as that was kind of always the dream coach, I think that would keep Notre Dame from moving on that, even if there were interest from Urban on the other side of that.
What's a better opening? USC, LSU, Notre Dame? I'd throw Oklahoma in there, but Oklahoma, I mean, if you want to, but best job out of those four.
I think Notre Dame is a great job. I think it's the hardest job of the four.
Yeah.
You know, Oklahoma, you have Texas sitting there. USC, you have California recruiting. Louisiana per capita has great talent. And Notre Dame, you know where Notre Dame's biggest draw has been for talent in the last 4 years? California. And number two is Georgia. It's not Ohio or Indiana or Illinois. I mean, they're going all over the place. And I think that's – and now Brian Kelly's raised the bar on expectations. I think it's the most difficult of those jobs. What would be the best job? I would say probably USC, just because they have the tradition, the recruiting, and everything all rolled into one. And I think they can stop those – California stars from being so transient. I mean, you look at Ohio State, their quarterback's from California. Alabama, their quarterback's from California.
What are you going to do?
Their quarterback's from California.
What are you going to do the rest of the day, Eric?
I got a lot of writing to do the rest of the day. I'm going to write a column on what the next steps should look like. And then we have the beautiful college football playoff show tonight. Wouldn't that be wild if all the tumblers fell and Notre Dame somehow backed into the playoff picture?
Well, if somebody slips up here in these conference title games, if Alabama loses, Notre Dame may slip in there. And then who's coaching Notre Dame in the bowl game?
Well, they're not going to have an interim coach right now. I think they would appoint one at that point. But again, you're going to have a tug of war with Brian Kelly wanting to pull some people to LSU.
Oh, so, I know.
It may be you and me coaching Notre Dame in the bowl game.
Well, Oklahoma's bringing back Bob Stoops. Can Notre Dame bring back Lou Holtz or Rudy? How about Rudy coaches him?
Then I'm leaving the beat. That would be. I'd rather see somebody from the media coach.
Eric, thanks for joining us. Know you got a busy day. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me on.
Last season on the Choosing Sides F1 podcast, we established unequivocally that F1 is the pinnacle of motorsports.
We did, but honestly, I was left with more questions than answers, Tony.
I'm Tony Karen Brown, a tech, culture, and F1 commentator.
And I'm Michael Costa, comedian from The Daily Show.
Join us for season 2 of Choosing Sides F1.
Our F1 102, if you will.
And get all of the answers.
All of them? Listen to Choosing Sides F1 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.